This is the number one politics, society, and culture podcast that you'll ever hear. It's called the Toasty Podcast. Look, if anyone is going to start a media revolution, it might as well be us. Sky created the Toasty brand to influence people in a positive way in order to empower independent thinkers such as himself to stand up for what they believe in. And here at the Toasty Podcast, we call that staying toasty. So, where does that leave you? It's simple, really. When you support our work, you're supporting the good fight. We produce podcasts, create YouTube and TikTok content, and design apparel that isn't made in China for you. We want to engage culture, so let's get toasty. Welcome back to the Toasty Podcast, guys. I'm Sky.
I'm Maddie B.
Woo! We're here, and we are excited to be here as well. If you are listening for the first time, please be sure and share the show. Also, like it. And if you want to ask us a question about politics, society, or culture, go ahead. We are an open book. You can ask us anywhere on social media, toasty.podcast on Instagram, and our email is listentoastypodcast@gmail.com.
You could even hijack the question of the week if you want and just ignore the question and be like, blah, 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 and blow it up with some random opinion.
Boom.
Go for it.
Say whatever you want, because anyone that goes into the question of the week that's on Facebook, on my page, has a chance to win a free Toasty tea.
If you say something really cool that's totally off subject, we might even win.
Might even pick that one, you know?
Might just be like, you know what? That one.
It's normally a random guy that wins, but honestly, I've been thinking maybe we'll just pick the best one. Like,
yeah,
literally just the best one wins, you know?
I think that's the best way to do it. Meritocracy.
So the Joe Rogan thing, right?
Right.
Okay, so he came on one of his shows, one of his episodes. And he's talking about the vaccine mandates.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, he went hard, dude. Like, Joe Rogan normally, like, stays pretty center on purpose for his show. But he was like, this is a very, very, like, this is the micro form of dictatorship. And he's
this
like,
is where
headed
it starts.
For it.
This
and
is where
he literally was saying
starts.
It. And I was like, whoa, dude. Okay, so I post this on my Facebook freaking wall, right, from Ground News. Ground News was covering it, of course. I will click on it so you guys can see the actual article that I was talking about. Vaccine passports, one step closer to dictatorship, right? And he has the whole clip right here. You can watch it, guys, if you go to ground.news. But this guy, and I'm going to say, I don't care. You know, one thing I need to figure out, I haven't done any research on it, but I need to figure out, like, is it legal for me to be like, this guy, his name is, you know, and say their name because they commented on my Facebook wall?
It's on the internet.
I agree, but
is it?
Public
information, absolutely.
Because, like, you can't some pictures you can't, like, if they're on the internet because they're, like, copyrighted somehow. Is your name not copyrighted? It doesn't matter.
If it's a private Facebook page, but if it's your private Facebook wall, you can share whatever, you can divulge whatever you want that's on your page.
Because they're actually allowing themselves to be on it. That makes
exactly.
sense. Exactly. Okay. Well, David Fancher out here, what a hack, he says. I travel internationally for my job, and I carry a vaccine passport, which is something that has been around for decades and decades. It's time to write stop. Okay, I don't think he did a typo. I think he like rage types, bro. He probably just gets so mad. It's time to write stop the adolescent fear mongering.
This guy's naive.
First of all, he's talking about an international vaccine passport, which is not, in my opinion, the same thing.
Yeah.
Because like to go to Africa, you have to have different
Exactly.
different vaccines. Obviously, I get that. I'm totally there for that. Went to Honduras, same thing. Like I get the international thing is actually for like not spreading an actual disease, mind you, an actual disease right. that will kill a lot of people.
Yes.
Right? There's a huge difference here, I think.
Big difference between, you know, malaria and COVID. Right?
Right. And I'll tell you this last week I actually almost got like I almost became How do I say this? Willing to get the vaccine.
Whoa.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that. I mean, I know a lot of people that have gotten it. And
it's not that big of a deal. I know it's not. But it's
It
it's
is
just
an experimental
to
vaccine,
me.
But.
For sure.
It's super safe.
It's just interesting to me how media works, right? And I was looking at everything, and I'm just like, yeah, man, maybe they're right. You know, like, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, I could go do it. And then I was like, wait a second. No, no, no. It's come down to principle almost. And that's what sucks.
It shouldn't have ever
it
been
It should have
politicized.
Never been politicized. Yeah. Because now I'm like, well, crap, dude. You know? At BJ's, I'm having to wear a mask. Guess what I did? I didn't wear a mask last shift. I was like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm done.
Right.
And I think, what is this going to lead to? This is going to lead to more people not working, in my opinion. If they have a vaccine, let's just say they have a vaccine mandate. And jobs start
it's
saying,
be another reason
you have to have, you have to have a vaccine mandate and you have to wear masks or some crap. People are going to be like, oh, well, I'm already getting $300 a week. Why the heck would I go back in? Not 600 because it'll go down. I know it'll go down. I get that. But
is it still like, $600 a week?
No, not. I don't think so in Texas. Is it September or now? I thought it was August. I'm not sure. It might still be 600. But my point remains, they'll just be like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to stay home then.
Yeah.
Screw that. Or go find another job, you know, a different job. So those employers are still going to be screwed. So it's almost like, why would you mandate that?
It really depends on where they are. If it's in a big liberal city, I mean, a lot of those people are sheeple. Just comply. They just go, okay, I guess we have to do it because those darn anti-vaxxer Trump supporters.
Yeah.
I saw this, you know, this woman on TikTok today, or it was a YouTube short because I'm not on TikTok, which is the same thing as TikTok.
Just so you were clear, TikTok came first. Okay, all right, keep going.
But anyway, it's true. Yeah. Anyway, some lady, and she was like, "It's because all you, you know," basically she was saying exactly what I just said. It's because all you people that were never wanted to wear masks and never wanted to get the vaccine, and all you Trump supporters and idiots out there, you're the reason I have to put a mask back on. It's like, but you don't have to put a mask back on. That's the thing. You elected those people that are telling you to put a mask on.
Right.
So you are their boss. They're not your boss. Like, what are you doing? We shouldn't be listening to those people at all.
I agree. That's
insane. Ridiculous.
I know. And here we are. Cuomo is about to be out, apparently. Newsom's probably, I don't know, we'll see what happens.
Cuomo
with that.
Is on his way out. I think Newsom, the polls are really getting tight.
I mean, dude.
It's neck
is
and
it
neck.
Really?
Yes.
Dang it, dude.
It was,
he just started giving away free money, bro.
Well, they were more in his favor, and now they're way tighter.
Oh.
It's
I didn't
going
know that.
Bad for Newsom. Yes, is what I'm
oh,
saying.
Oh, good. Heck
it's
yeah.
Like, I think it's 48-46. 48 want to keep Newsom. 46 want to, I think this is right, yeah. 48,
well, who else is there? Who else is the...
So, okay, hold on. 48 want to keep Newsom, 46 want him recalled, and then 6% are undecided.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And
so
who do we have to choose from if it's not Newsom? Who's going to be it?
Larry Elder and some other local California politicians. That's all I know.
Larry Elder is what, the Republican side?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's no Democrats running, as far as I know.
Interesting. Well, our question of the week, you guys will hear it at the end, but just I want to ask Matt, see what he says. Do you think the eviction moratorium, and you guys can think about it as you listen, do you think the eviction moratorium is necessary currently? I said, landlords, please chime in. Because if you guys don't know, they actually extended the moratorium, and I say they, Biden extended it.
CDC, specifically.
CDC, but that's after the Supreme Court and Congress told them it's not possible, it's not legal.
So what happened was the Supreme Court ruled, Justice Kavanaugh gave the opinion, the majority opinion, and said that essentially like the moratorium is going to end in a few weeks anyway at the time of the opinion. And he's like gulping right into the mic. That's so funny.
this water's good.
I'm sure it is. It sounds good.
Like tea, bro.
So anyway, Justice Kavanaugh gives a majority opinion and says that essentially this moratorium is going to end in a few weeks anyway. So it is unconstitutional. If you want to extend it, it has to be an act of Congress to be able to do that. The CDC does not have the authority to make that decision. And in the statute, I listened to Ben Shapiro today, and he basically read the statute, the actual law, and said like the CDC is allowed to do this, this, and this. In the state of like an actual pandemic, and there's nowhere where it says they can, you know, enact an eviction moratorium. There's not even anything close to that. And even Joe Biden said it's unconstitutional, but the CDC did it anyway. And by the time it gets litigated through the Supreme Court again, that'll be another month. And
it'll
by
be
then
done. It'll be done.
By then it'll either by then, most likely Congress will have some sort of answer. Even though Nancy Pelosi said, "I don't. It's not up to me. It's up to you."
I just okay. What I don't understand then,
she's giving the executive branch literally a pass to be authoritative.
Yeah, but let's pretend. So since nothing's really set in stone, honestly, this whole thing seems like it's up in the air.
What, the eviction moratorium?
Yeah, it's all just like, what the heck's going on?
They're flying by the seat of their pants and nobody knows what's
going
on. So,
okay, so if I was a landlord and I was like, no, screw you. Get the heck out of my place right now. You're not paying anything. This is ridiculous.
You'd be fined by the federal government upwards of $250,000.
Are you serious?
Yep.
But yet they don't even know what they're doing.
No, that's... Yeah.
So could you ride that out somehow in court and like get away with it? You know what I mean?
Maybe.
All right, guys.
It's a huge risk, and you're also going to be paying a lot of legal fees, which landlords are pretty strapped for cash right now because guess what? They're not collecting rent, and they can't kick people out to get rent, people that want to actually pay rent.
Exactly, and you'll hear more about that from real landlords at the end of the show
when
we tell you guys during the Facebook Warriors segment what's up with that.
Yeah, I'll probably have another couple of Matt's rants on the.
That's fine, dude.
The whole eviction moratorium, I think, to begin with, was just ridiculous.
That is freaking fine, dude. Okay, so on TikTok, I was watching TikTok, of course, and I'm always on TikTok.
What?
This is disregard. Okay, disregard the image on the screen. Hold on, let me go to something different. Jeez. You're looking at it like, what's going on, man? What's going on? Okay, I'll just keep it there. Whatever. Okay. Anyway, I was on TikTok. And does that distract you a lot?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you want to put up on the screen,
put
bro?
Like a picture of mountains or something.
What?
Just some background, something I don't have to read or look at.
Does that work? Ground news.
Okay, there's stuff moving, but that's fine. Whatever.
You're the worst.
There you go. Why didn't you?
You're absolutely the worst, dude. No, because I need
a picture.
It doesn't matter, dude. People need to see what's going on, man. Hold on. Let's just go here.
All right. So I was actually.
No, hold on. I want to say something.
About TikTok?
Yeah. I was on TikTok, and I scrolled past the video that you wanted to talk about, and it was literally just a Confederate flag kid. The student.
Which video? Oh.
The one you wanted to talk about.
I didn't want to talk about a TikTok video.
I know you didn't. They brought up the Confederate flag and why it's good or bad. That's all. That's all I was going to say.
Oh.
That's it.
Well, this is totally separate if you want to talk about the Confederate flag now. So,
what?
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so my coworker Billy today is an avid listener and asked me today what I thought about the Confederate flag. He was listening to something, some other podcast. He was cheating on us. But
he was probably actually watching TikTok.
Yeah. Grown men don't watch TikToks, guy.
That's not true at
Just
all.
Just messing with you.
It's not true at all.
I'm not
offended. I stand by it.
Hey, TikTok is for grown men too. Anyway, so he asked me. He just blatantly was like, "Shrib." He asked me all my opinions. Like, you probably mentioned this in a podcast at least once. But what do you think about the Confederate flag?
Have we?
Probably.
We have.
We've talked about it briefly, I think, because Nikki Haley's taking it down, and I was like, "Well, this and that." Blah blah blah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he asked me what I thought about the Confederate flag, and I kind of sat there and I paused for a minute, and I was like, you know. I don't like it, and here's why. Because I have a lot of Texas pride, American pride, Southern pride, not necessarily in that order. And I was like, here's why I don't like it. It's because it is a call to arms and a battle flag against the United States of America. And then I said, and I mean the country of the United States, not the government of the United States, because I'm pretty anti-government as far as the federal government goes. I mean,
if you listen to this podcast and you still believe the government, then you need to stop listening to this podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I view the Confederate flag as definitely, it's un-American, and not only is it un-American, it's anti-American. It's like waving the Chinese flag up and down the streets going, you know, the Chinese will take over America. You know, it's
anti-American, huh?
It's anti-American. And people will say, oh, but it's about pride, not prejudice. I'm like, pride in what? Exactly. It's about pride.
In the war against America.
In the war against America.
Right. Is that what you're saying?
And you can have pride for your family that fought you know, bravely for their side.
Right, right.
But what they were fighting for was anti-American and should be shunned. Now, that being said, you have every right to fly it. I believe you can fly a Nazi flag out your front door if you want.
Right.
Fine. I don't care.
And now what's interesting about what you're saying is it's not, you're not saying, now this is going to sound terrible, but you're not saying the things they were fighting for were anti-American. You're saying they were literally fighting against America.
Correct.
And so it's anti-American.
But the things they were fighting for
are also anti-American-ish.
Yes.
Right?
Well, yeah. The two things you can argue were obviously slavery and states' rights.
States' rights.
Those states' rights in a Confederacy is anti-American. We tried a Confederacy first.
Didn't work.
It didn't work.
Yeah, and that's what makes us like so great is our states' rights.
Yeah. We still have an abundance of states' rights as far as being in our federal system.
Yeah, we can have, all of us, it's so crazy how different all the states are. And
right.
It's because of the states' rights. Like, you can do what you need to do.
It's fantastic.
I just thought of the Barbie song. It's fantastic. Sorry.
But yeah, that being said, yeah, I just, that's why I don't
that's
like.
That's crazy, man. That's actually like a different take. You know, that's honestly, it's refreshing, I think. But the thing I will say, like everyone's, it's always the argument of should they be allowed to just take it down wherever they want or should they be allowed to put it up wherever they want? That whole thing, right?
What do you mean?
Well, they're always like,
more specific in that.
They're always like, should people be allowed to fly it or have it publicly, shown publicly? That's always the argument. And
if it's like on your shirt or on the back of your pickup truck or on your front lawn,
right.
Fine.
Doesn't matter, right?
Doesn't matter.
Because?
That's a First Amendment issue.
Boom. Boom! That's exactly what I wanted to get to.
Symbols are speech.
That's where I wanted to get to. I wanted to get to the fact that it really doesn't matter. You know, and you can judge someone like that all day long. That's fine, whatever, because you're.
Yeah.
But you can't. It doesn't mean that you can, you know, get crazy and call them out and then take it down. Like you can't rip their shirt off.
You can call them out.
You can call them out all you want.
But you can't.
First Amendment, still First Amendment.
Yeah.
But and you can also, if you have a flag that's Confederate, you can also burn that flag if you really want to.
Exactly. Burn it on your front lawn.
That's fine.
Like,
yeah.
Yo, neighbor,
that's,
with the Confederate flag. Look what I think of that.
That is freedom.
Exactly.
And that's interesting. Yeah, I've never really been a guy that's like, oh my gosh, I hate that flag. But I've also never been a guy that's like, hell yeah, brother, I'm gonna fly it up the back of my truck. I've never been the guy. I might fly the come and take it flag. I might fly that.
Yeah, I've got one of those in my garage.
But I don't. Is that still like? What does that actually represent? Is it just literally what it stands for? Come and take it. So you come take my guns. You're not. Dude, that's not gonna happen.
It has a specific reference in the American Revolution.
Okay.
They would fly that flag, you know, over forts to basically egg the British on. So, you know, if you want this, you got to come and take it, right?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interessante.
And then now Second Amendment advocates are taking that same symbol and saying, if you want my, you know, Charlton Heston style, if you want my rifle, you take it from my, pry it from my cold dead hands. Charlton Heston said that in an NRA meeting.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But, let's go! You know, I feel like more patriotic. By that conversation we just had. But no, I totally agree, dude. It's the same thing as like people burning the American flag. Like I know people want to freak out and like, you know, just get mad and they hate that. And they're like, these guys should go to prison or whatever they want to say, right? Go to jail, whatever. At the end of the day, it actually is their right to do that. Now, I don't know, under specific circumstances, it might not be the way they're doing it. But, like, if it's on your property and you burn an American flag.
I think the fire marshal might have something to say about burning in a public space.
Right. Yeah, exactly. According to my calculations. Anyway, no, but I mean, on your private property, the same thing applies.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we say that constantly. It's like one of the, I don't want to say best ways, it's not the best way, but it's a way that you can literally see how free America is. Because if you did that in many other countries, you would be in jail immediately or dead.
And if somebody, if your neighbor, let me just give you this last thing I'll say about the flag issue. If your neighbor has a Confederate flag, right, don't like mess with his flag. Don't get in his face or anything. Just get a bigger U.S. like 1864 flag. and fly it higher than his flag and be like, remember who won? Remember? Remember what country you live in currently and enjoy the freedoms of currently? It's not the Confederacy. Although,
what would have happened? Let's just pretend.
If the
Confederates won,
and we had two different sets.
Oh, we would have two different sets.
We would have a United States and we'd have a Confederate States.
But I thought if they won, they would be like, we would have all Confederacy.
No.
Oh, so it would have just been split.
Mm-hmm.
I think slavery still would be. I don't know how fast it would be out, but I think it would.
Oh,
still be
yeah,
out.
It would have taken another 50 years, probably.
50 years, you think? Another 50 years?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Is it true that the
South industrial. Oh, let me just explain why the South industrialized rapidly because of Reconstruction. A lot of that money in the 1860s and 70s, well, 70s and 80s and 90s, went to the Southern states to build up their manufacturing so they wouldn't be as reliant on slavery, and that wouldn't have happened. They would have just been like, oh, well, we got this, you know,
wow,
we've got this agribusiness. The South would have stayed poor, even poorer than it is today.
Yeah,
it would have been way worse for the South.
That's a little bit of humble pie then for Texas. Like, we can attribute some of our wealth to the northern states.
Texas is its own thing. No. Because Texas history... No, well, the thing is, Texas, there's only like maybe a handful, maybe even just one battle for the Civil War, in the Civil War, in Texas. Texas was not a huge player in the Civil War.
Oh, okay.
We were admitted, you know, only, I think, 15, 16 years before the beginning of the Civil War. So we were just kind of like... one of the last states to be admitted before the Civil War.
Interesting.
It actually broke out. And, I mean, we had our own... we had a very robust economy from the beginning. It wasn't just reliant on agriculture. Especially when, you know, and not to get jump out too far ahead, but especially in the 1950s, when air conditioning came, Texas became a huge, you know, financial center.
Interesting.
But
I think we're dealing with... so you think we're going to deal with that same thing again, like states' rights? Because I don't know, man. There's a lot of things happening where we're getting more divided and by state, and that's why I'm thinking we're headed for something like that, you know?
I think...
not a civil war. I don't think we're headed for that. I say that time and time again. It might be like a cold one or something like that, but at the end of the day, I feel like we're going to end up being like so divided that you will literally have...
I don't really know exactly what's going to happen, but
Democrats in cities, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to have basically Democrat states and Republican states,
right? And I'm,
and there's going to be the Democrat states are going to be like, you know, on the East and West Coast, coastal states, and then Chicago, and maybe one or two other Midwest states, and then you're going to have
Minneapolis.
In those specific states, you're going to have rapid urbanization and very few people live in rural areas. And what's going to happen is, so Bill Gates, I don't know if you knew this, Bill Gates owns the majority of the private farmland in the United States.
I did know that, yeah. It's crazy.
And which is nuts. And he's basically going to automate as much of that farmland as he can, you know, without people. And then that's just going to drive that rural population down. And then in those states like Illinois, California, and I'm trying to think of more agricultural blue states. There's not many. Maybe Pennsylvania. Those states are going to basically rely less on agriculture and more on cities.
I don't think we're going to have a balance of like using humans for things versus machines. It's insane. They just want to go. They want to go full on no human.
Well,
rather than like, there's a balance here. Yeah, obviously machines help, and obviously there's some things you can automate. But like,
it kind of boils down to, what do you get from work? You get like a sense of self gratification and satisfaction, and like, yeah, look what I just did, a little bit of pride. And if you don't do that, if they can keep you from working, if they can keep you from going out to eat, if they can keep you from socializing, if they can keep you in your house on social media and on basically the internet, you'll view people as more avatars and expendable, and then you'll be more inclined to do whatever the government or the mainstream begins to do, because that's all you really are around. You see what I'm saying?
Wow, that's scary. That's scary. So, yeah, that's that George Orwell stuff right there, man.
Yeah, so I was
holy crap.
I was listening. So my coworker Jonathan, shout out to Jonathan, he's an avid listener too.
Jonathan, what's up, dude? VIP, brother.
So
let me know. I'll send you a shirt.
Hey, see. So COVID is the beginning of an active American communist revolution. It's the beginning of
that's
the,
what you think?
Of,
that's what we're,
it's beginning
we're
of the activist part.
Interesting.
And Jonathan sent me this video today of oh crap, what's the guy from is it Opie and Andy? What is it? Was that Anthony and Opie? Anyway.
What?
He showed me this interview. Let me find
it. I wish that Anthony and Opie, is that what you said?
Yeah. He showed me a video of Jim Brewer on that show, and they talk about, so Jim Brewer is a guy from SNL. I was on SNL back in the day.
Guys, real quick while he's looking up that, if you guys haven't already, go to our website, toastycreations.com. There you can actually find and buy apparel that we sell for the Toasty Podcast. All proceeds go to the show in order to help us grow. That is how we do it. We don't do donations. We decided that donations are, I don't know, we also do donations, but I feel bad, I guess. I don't know why. We are offering you guys content. I get it. But like, I wanted to be able to design a shirt. You guys have something physical that you're actually getting from us whenever you give us money, essentially, right? So all the way down to hoodies, stickers, toasty mugs, crop tops for women, freaking freedom shirts, you know, regular toasty tees, all of that, guys. We have it on Toasty Apparel for you guys to buy. So go check it out and support the show.
Cool. It's Anthony Cumia from Opie and Anthony, yeah.
And what about him?
So sorry, Jim Brewer was on that show, and they talk about basically just, it's called Red Pill to the World Around Us.
Ooh,
yeah, and juicy. They basically just talk about. So Jim Brewer he's from New Jersey, and he has a lot of friends that are from. He just said communist countries. I'm guessing Eastern European, former Soviet right. countries, and he was like, check. "This is." They were all saying like, "This is the beginning." Next thing you know, it's going to be people coming into your house.
What the heck, dude? Mm-hmm. And you know what I don't like about that is that the same thing was said. There was a North Korea is a bad one, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, every time, bro. There was a girl from there that escaped.
Yeah, China. I saw her on Joe Rogan.
She's literally going around. She's doing a rounds of podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. She was on Tim Pool as well, right? She had the same freaking message. And she was like, if you don't think it's real, I've lived it, and I feel very, very, very similar. I feel the same about this, is what she was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? What, dude? Are you kidding me? And that's her formative years. In her formative years, she was in communism. She was in just terrible
slavery, escaped North Korea
slavery, essentially.
At 13.
And she went into slavery in China on purpose because it was better.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Well, I mean... At least you're fed, right?
That was insane.
At least you might have a warm place to sleep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Okay.
Jeez.
Isn't that crazy?
Is that like the most basic thing that Americans can think of? Oh, like a warm place to sleep. It's like even people that live on the streets have a warm place to sleep. Right?
Yeah. And everyone takes AC for granted now. That's uh-huh. another random thought, right? Another random thing.
They don't have power lights.
Right.
Transportation.
Dude.
She was saying they have to push the train.
Yes, sometimes. Dude. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's happening like that. Well, that was probably years ago, but it's probably still going on. Something like that is probably still going on. You're just like, wow.
In her words, she said the whole country is a concentration camp. But that's an extreme example.
Very
right?
extreme example because they've been doing it forever.
Yeah.
But
so
that's insane. So this guy says it too. He's from the show and he said that.
Yeah. So Jim Brewer used to be on the Saturday Night Live back in the like late 80s, early 90s, I think. And big comedian, he does tours now all over the U.S. And yeah, he was basically just saying what he thought, and it was just the truth. It was just like basic, you know, basic things. Like they're gonna start by saying, "Oh, it's for your health, it's for your own good." The messaging is all mixed, and there's no logic behind it. If you really pay attention over the long term, what they're saying, they're really just getting you to follow orders: mask on, mask off, mask on, mask off. If you do it enough times, you won't even think about really why you're doing it.
Remember that trick as a kid?
Oh, it's for my safety, and you'll just kind of do it, you know?
Like Simon Says or whatever, or like someone's following you in your car, and you blink your left, blink your right. You know, you just keep doing that back and forth, and they follow you. You're like, oh, wow, they followed me five times, you know? Yeah. Like, it's some weird human condition to be like, oh, wow, he actually followed me, you know?
Right.
Well, that's just a very, very minor, like, instance of it. Can you imagine what people do with, like, power and, like, money and everything? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They just love to see that. Isn't that weird?
It's very weird.
That's just crazy, but humans suck. But I'm just like, wow, you know? I can't imagine myself in that place, but obviously I don't know. I've never had that much power or had that much money, you know?
Right. It's hard to say what you would do in their shoes, but yeah. You would like to think that you would...
hold your principles.
Abdicate your power, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing is that the...
I mean, honestly, kudos to, you know, these people that are in power and are still, like, fighting like crazy and are getting ridiculed like crazy as well.
Yeah. You're
talking about Thomas Massie. You're talking about Ted Cruz. You're talking about these guys out here that are, like, still will say, this is ludicrous. Are you crazy? DeSantis. Have you seen the things that are happening? He's literally... Now, here's what I don't understand. Because now he's talking about pulling funding from schools that put a mask mandate in place. But isn't that...
He's talking about, like, yeah, basically cutting off their salaries, yeah.
Right, but isn't... But I don't like... That's interesting because it sounds very similar to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well...
That is very, you know, that is, you know, a very...
What school, what superintendent in the world would call his bluff, right? What superintendent would be like, you know, we're still going to go with masks. I don't care if the governor says he's going to come with it. Because no. DeSantis is going to do it. He's going to be like, okay.
I know. No. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that he sounds like the other side. It's not good. It's not good for us.
What do you mean?
He's sounding authoritarian.
He's using government to get his will, but it's not authoritarian at all. He's the governor. He's the one that executes the laws. And he implemented an executive order that says government institutions are not allowed to...
Have mask mandates. But they're still doing it? Is that what's happening?
And if a superintendent goes, well, we're going to have a mask mandate in my school, then the governor, on his own authority, is obligated.
You're not following the executive order.
Exactly. He's obligated at that point to step in and do something about it. He's executing his own executive order under the Constitution of Florida.
Right, but let's pretend... So let's see if it's California and they have mask mandates and it's an executive order or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, screw you. I'm not going to wear mask mandates. And they're like... You can't do that. You know, we have an executive order to wear masks. It's the same scenario backwards. But would you say something different towards them?
You can always...
Does that make sense?
You can always put a mask on.
What? No, dude.
No, what I'm saying is DeSantis is offering more freedom to people, whereas California is offering less freedom to people. Huge difference.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So
if DeSantis is saying the government is not going to get in your way.
Right.
Whereas... Newsom is saying the government is in your way and will stay in your way until you do what we say.
Hello, this is an ad. And if you don't like that, that's fine. But trust me, it's good info for you. You have to have a podcast hosting platform if you want to start your own podcast. And that is actually one of the questions that I get asked the most often. It's not politics. It's not society or culture. It's how do I start a podcast? Well, this is how you freaking do it. You start with Blueberry. You can start with SoundCloud if you want. You can start with Anchor if you want, because it's free. You can also start with Podbean, but let me tell you something. I've tried all three of those, and they do not work that well. Whenever it comes to the analytics department, they do not do anything for you. They don't show you your stats. They don't let you look at Spotify stats separately or iTunes stats separately on their own, because technically, it's not your podcast. It's theirs. And that's what this boils down to. Blueberry lets you use your own podcast however you like. They only let you use their service for hosting. It's all it is. It's not a, here's my content, do whatever you want with the type of thing. It's a, here's my content, please store it in a safe place. And that is all they do for you. The other thing they add is they give you a plugin for your website on WordPress. So I have a WordPress website for our stuff, our content, all of everything we do. It's toastercreations.com. So this is like a double whammy. Two ads in one, bro. Anyway, if you go to that site, you'll see all of our posts are also our podcast episodes. That's how they do it. Blueberry lets me post a blog post right up onto my website. And immediately it's a podcast episode and it goes to all the podcast platforms automatically. That's what Blueberry does for you. And right now, if you go and sign up and use our promo code STAY-TOASTY, you get one free month to check it out. See how you like it. If you don't like it, well, then you can stop and you don't have any commitments. There's no contract on this, guys. It's month to month, no matter what. That's what's beautiful. So, check it out. Let us know what you think. And if you don't like it, well, then suit yourself. Back to the show.
There's a huge difference between the two. I mean, one is a Bill of Rights. The other is like a the Constitution essentially establishes the government. It establishes what the government can do and should do. The Bill of Rights limits the growth, the inevitable growth of that government, and protects our God-given rights, right?
Right.
So DeSantis is literally just, he created the Parents' Bill of Rights, quote-unquote, in Florida. In California, it's like whatever the teachers' union says we're going to do, we're going to do. It's a totally different, you know, action. One is like limiting government, limiting what the government can do in Florida. The other is implementing new barriers, restrictions.
Yeah, and I get it. I guess I just thought maybe DeSantis would be like each school district kind of do their own thing, I guess. I don't know, you know? That's what I'm getting down to. I'm like, well, I understand that, and I know it's just the state. I get that, but – and I know really he is fighting for another freedom instead of fighting against it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day also, well, couldn't he just be like, well, you know what? Each school just do their own thing, because what would happen? If they don't want to go to that school district, they don't go. But I guess it's not really a choice for some people. I don't know. You know,
DeSantis is also offering a voucher program for parents that want to leave a school that is mandating any masks. So he's both saying, if you're a public school doing this, we're going to take away your funds. If you're a private school mandating masks, we're going to offer vouchers to go to a different school for those parents that don't want to have their kids in a mask. Yeah.
And that's what's pretty interesting. Impressive. I guess
it's pretty crazy.
It's just like, so back to what I was saying about it, you know, they're taking very hard stances and they are going to be, or are being very, very, very ridiculed. Mm-hmm. And since the media is, you know, I would almost say generally the whole big media sphere is biased towards the left. And so obviously they get a crazy amount of footage on that stuff, and they could, you know, ruin their whatever social media career or whatever you want to call it, right? That's crazy. But that's the type of person we need to get anywhere with it, I guess. You know? And it's just that's why I felt like, that's why over the past week I was like, oh man, maybe I'll just get the vaccine or whatever. I was feeling kind of like not as like, let's freaking go, you know. I wasn't feeling like on my stance 100%.
Yeah.
And that's how crazy it is. If you're not 100%, dude, you're done.
Right.
Like, that's how hard they're hitting.
And you have to stay diligent about not falling for like a mainstream narrative.
Anything. Right? Yeah, it doesn't matter, any of it. Yeah. Honestly, dude, I'm starting to think like, little mustache hair got in my mouth. I'm starting to think like any narrative, I'm just like, wow, you know, what do? You know? There's just so much stuff happening, dude.
Yeah.
And you know, behind the scenes, you're like, man, what's going on here, you know?
There's a lot going on. I mean,
what's going on here?
What's going on is all of the distractions that you're experiencing are just that. They are distractions, and they are meant to keep you from really seeing the whole picture of how big the government is, how much control they have over your life.
Yeah.
In every aspect. And it's been slow over the past 100 years, really, since the turn of the century. And they will never give up any power, ever. Whatever they got, they're going to keep.
And then you start seeing this big web. Like, if you look at the money, you just see this big web of money all across. It's all across America and all these countries or all these corporations and everything. It's like, who's not affected? Like, you're just looking at it like, wow, you know. And that's when you're just like, man, I can see how they'd be right. We start with this small little thing, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're at our doorstep. They're in your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jim said, right?
Yeah.
That. Wow, dude.
So Jim didn't exactly say that. It was his friends that were from former communist countries,
okay, right,
saying that.
They've lived it.
Yeah, they've
lived
it.
And then you have Joe Rogan, of all people, actually starting to, like, speak up. And you're like, whoa. You know, like,
someone
I don't think
who just,
people understand what's happening. I just don't.
Exactly. You just really have to pull the curtain out from your eyes one way or the other, you know,
yeah,
and just look at the big picture of, like,
and this
wow,
isn't a conspiracy theory. This isn't, like, anything like that. It's just look at what's going on, and you're like, why would they try so hard, first of all? It's weird. It's
and
all
why is
weird.
Everything so divided? Why?
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro was citing another statistic today, of course, because it's Ben Shapiro. But he was like,
to my calculations,
I think it's about 35% of Democrats believe that the, or so, in regards to coronavirus and returning back to normal, about 35% of Democrats say that they are back to normal or going to be back to normal within a few months, and that something like 52% of Independents say they're normal or going back to normal within a few months. And then it's something like 75% of Republicans are back to normal or going back to normal in the next few months.
They all believe that?
That's the political divide in regards to the pandemic being over.
Where they think we're at. Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
So Democrats are like, oh, we're not out of the woods yet. We still got to wear masks and are locked down.
Right.
We're in these big cities that, you know, where there's this group of vaccinated people that aren't allowed to talk to these unvaccinated people, and the unvaccinated people spread it like crazy, and the numbers go up, and you wonder why. Like,
dude,
what the heck happened?
I had the
people are so dumb.
You're right, dude.
They don't
even
take 2 seconds to think
so
about it.
Dumb.
Well, this is the thing. They don't even take like 2 seconds to think. Seconds to think why, like why the spread is happening here, or the Delta variant is happening.
So every other article I read is guy a week after guy does not get vaccine or denies vaccine, he dies from COVID. You know, articles like that, you're just like, what's going on, dude? Stop. Like,
yeah.
It's like whenever you're about to get a motorcycle and all your family members decide to tell you a story about how they know somebody that died on a motorcycle.
Right.
Like straight up.
I got that, yeah.
And I wrecked on my motorcycle too. It was very slow. And then you read statistics and you're like, oh, like 80% of these motorcycle crashes are low speed.
Uh-huh.
Like 20 or under. And it's usually in a parking lot or like within 3 miles of your house.
Yeah.
Those are the real stats. And you're just like, okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be careful.
That's literally,
you know,
the exact
mean?
Same statistics as car wrecks too.
This is a perfect like analogy because it doesn't mean you shouldn't be careful. Like on a bike, you need to wear all your gear and be ready to go.
Right.
But it also means that you shouldn't be freaking listening 100% to all the fear, actual fear mongering.
Yeah, like live your life, right?
Right. Right. Live your life.
And just thinking independently is on the rapid decline.
It's interesting.
Critical thinking. This is something that Jonathan mentioned because Jonathan was homeschooled. The guy I worked with was homeschooled from kindergarten to 12th grade. Homeschooled.
What?
All of it. Yeah.
And
he is smart. He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
I feel
for you, brother.
Really good. Really good tech. And he was like, man, the stuff that they don't teach you in public school is crazy. Critical thinking. The biggest thing that they don't teach you in
I want to hear his take, because normally...
Take the test, pass the test, go to college, take the test, pass the test, go to your cubicle, do your job, wear the mask, don't wear the mask, eat your fucking grass, sheep. Like, that's all it is, man.
Wow.
That's it.
Because one of my good friends commented on this one on last question.
Okay.
Last Facebook lawyer, he commented, and he won the shirt. His name was Luke.
Job, Luke.
Luke Robin Noodles. His name is actually Luke Robinson. I don't know if he wants me to say that on the show. I'm sorry, dude. I'll bleep it out, actually. I'll bleep it out, bro. Anyway, dude, he was homeschooled too, dude, and he went to a military, and like the thing is that what I've seen the most, I have a lot of friends that were homeschooled. What I've seen the most is either A, they were sheltered like crazy, or B, they actually learned very good skills. So it's like I don't know. Is there an in between? That's why I'd like to talk to Jonathan, see what he says, like about how it was for him growing up homeschooled. Does he have any qualms with it, or is it all good? You know, that's what I'm thinking.
Because
the critical thinking part of it, awesome. But like,
I haven't talked to him a whole lot about it. I told him I'm homeschooling my kid. And
well, see,
like, cool.
Because now you look at what's happening in public schools, and you're like, whoa, what the heck? And you know, whenever I being in public school, I'm a big advocate for it. I was always a huge advocate for you. Are you kidding me? Like, the life skill of being socially adequate in a society is, right, like, number one, in my opinion. Will always be number one to me. Hmm. Now, I know being smart and having those skills matters too, right? Or being, like, able to, you know, memorize things and all that stuff and read and whatever. Now, I get that. Obviously, those are basic skills you should know too. But, like, the basics, like, social skills are, like, very, 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 very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because to this day, and I feel like it will be like this forever, the more people you know, the better.
Right.
Because the more places you can go with that. Now, you can't be an idiot. You can't be a box of rocks and freaking, you know, make big moves. You can't. So there's like a weird balance, but I felt like public school did that the best. But now, I don't know. Now I'm getting older and I'm starting to think about it and I'm like looking at these things happening and I'm like, wait a second. No,
too many,
maybe not.
The thing is,
maybe not.
In my opinion, you know? There's too many distractions. The parent-teacher ratio is not good enough. And there's absolutely just no discipline in public
school.
Well,
if anything, I was also at a rural place. I was in a smaller town.
Yeah.
So if anything, maybe that's it. Maybe it's a public school in a small town, and maybe that's where you should shoot for. If you're near a city, in a city, maybe it is just homeschool. You know?
Yeah. But at the same time,
it's crazy.
I'm not just going to shelter my kid. Like, he's gonna go off and, you know, play sports and get involved in clubs and have friends outside.
Not fencing, though, right?
Not fencing.
Homeschool joke.
Yeah. No, he'll probably do rodeo or something.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. That would be sick.
It's big out in where we want to live eventually, so.
Yeah, of course, dude. That would be crazy, man. I don't know, man. The other thing I'm afraid of right now is, like, you know, big tech and how they can see everything. And I watched Black Mirror, always comes up, dude.
Yeah, well, Black Mirror is a good show.
Well, I watched a movie, a 1995 film called The Net. And it's a famous actress, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name. She's actually very famous. I should know, but whatever. She's in this. She's young at this point. And it's called The Net, right? And it's when computers were, like, just now going ham, right?
Right.
Dude, she's over here ordering pizza online. She's ordering pizza online, and I'm like, what? They had that? And she's on a freaking Apple computer, like, one or two or three or whatever. And I'm like, what the heck? And next thing you know, dude, she gets a floppy disk. Yeah, right? Floppy disk that has this secret entryway thing into, like, what they were calling the mainframe of, like, all of the cybersecurity that had just been brought up. It was called the Gatekeeper software. And the Gatekeeper software, sorry guys, if you really want to watch this film, it's on Netflix, and I'm going to spoil the crap out of it.
Sandra Bullock, by the way.
Sandra Bullock, dude. Thank you. That's what I wanted right there. Dude, gotcha. My guy, Matt. Since Nick's not here, dude, that's
I'm
sick.
Backing him up.
So anyway, Sandra Bullock's out here looking freaking good because she's 1995 Sandra Bullock, you know. but besides
that. Okay, all right. She still looks good.
She's still looking good. You're right. If Sandra's listening, which I doubt.
Love you, Sandra.
What the hell? Right. What the heck was that, dude? Anyway, dude, floppy disk, secret pass whatever thing to, like, the Gatekeeper software that's a cybersecurity for, like, tons of big corporations. It's being introduced into, like, police
units
are buying it because it's this guy that's selling it. Turns out he's a bad dude, and he watches literally everything she does, dude. Everything.
What a creep.
In 1995.
Is it Dennis Miller? Is Dennis Miller the bad guy? I just saw that Dennis Miller was in it.
Probably. Older dude. White, blonde hair?
No.
Oh, well, there's another bad... There's a few bad dudes, dude. But whatever, dude. The point... few bad dudes. Whatever, dude.
Some bad hombres.
The point is, in 1995, they made a film about freaking big tech being able to watch everything you do and know where you're going. And she was being chased. And I'm like, what
the heck? It's a pretty immediate... Like, even back then, I mean, when you found out what the internet was and what it could do... You're like, oh, I could see how this could be used for nefarious reasons, right?
So I'm thinking the same thing about AI. Like, people want to defend AI. I've actually talked to one guy. He might be on the show. We'll see what happens. He's a physics and math major right now. He's a freaking smart guy. He loves talking about space. He's cool. But he's actually working to get his something done where he can work for an AI company. I don't know. He, like, knows a lot about AI, and he loves it. He's into it, and he thinks it's definitely the future, and he thinks it's awesome.
No, it is the future. Inevitably.
It is the future, but I wanted to kind of ask him questions about how he doesn't think that the same things are going to happen, like when we invented the internet. Like, what? Does he really not think that people are going to use it, like, terribly?
I mean...
And it's going to go awry?
It happens with everything that, you know, humans invent.
Right.
The thing is, we just have to educate and have the good outnumber the bad. That's all it comes down to.
So the Toasty Podcast needs to be heard by everybody.
That's right. You heard it here first.
Woo!
Okay. One other thing that's, like, a little bit less deep I did want to talk about was the... this is a Daily Wire article. Here we go.
Dude, you love Daily Wire,
That's all I read. No, it's not all I read. I look at Ground News and I look at... I do actually glance at Fox News.
I don't know, man.
I'm less on Fox News. But the Democrats unveil their massive $3.5 trillion budget, right?
I thought they did like an infrastructure bill or something like that. They're still doing the... Is that part of the bill? Is that part of the
budget? This is the budget resolution. So this is an additional $3.5 trillion. Just spending by the trillions now instead of the hundreds of billions. Like, I remember distinctly when President Obama passed the stimulus bill in 2009. And it was around $700 billion. And it was the biggest bill ever signed in the history of the United States.
In the history of the United States?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, well, that's once in a lifetime. We'll never see anything like that again. And now we're spending by the $1, $2, $3, $4, maybe even $5 trillion. It's been reported this may cost $5.5 trillion.
Yeah, so remember when we were talking about the HR 1 and how it was like five? There was something with HR 1 that we were talking about and it was like $5 trillion and then he had to take it down because no one would approve that. Remember that? Was it the infrastructure bill we were talking about? It was $5 trillion originally, and then he took it down because he had to because no one would approve it. Well, I feel like what's happening now is he's just going to incrementally do the same thing, and eventually it'll be at $5 trillion, but he'll get his way, but it'll be longer. Everyone. Like, what the heck?
I was listening to Ted Cruz's podcast, Verdict.
Ted Cruz is a podcast?
Mm-hmm. God, and essentially, well, so he
come
said,
on the show, dude.
He said something that really like irked me. He was like, you know, they have a, you know, $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan, and he's like, and if it had, you know, if it was actually infrastructure and this and that and blah blah blah, he's like, I could get behind a $1 trillion plan, and I was like, what? How could you ever get behind anything that costs so much and still like have a conscience?
Well, first of all, how could you get behind it when we're in a deficit and you're a Texas
senator? $3.5 trillion deficit last year.
America,
2020.
Right, yeah.
America did. By itself. That was in the global deficit. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It could be. That was America's deficit. $3.5 trillion. And we're spending way more than that this year already.
Down the road, dude.
I'll never vote for Ted Cruz for anything else ever again.
What? Because of that one statement?
Never. He's part of the swamp now to me.
Because he said that, and you're like, oh, crap, he's too exposed or something like that. Like, you're too...
He's a Senate swamp creature now. If he even thinks about running again, I'd be like, yep, I was right.
If he even thinks about running again?
For Senate, yeah. He can run for president, and I might vote for him. But, man... Spending is.
Well, I'm glad you made that difference though, because a lot of people don't understand. Like, there are different powers that you get and lose and all that crap whenever you change positions in politics, right? So, like, you're saying you wouldn't vote for him as a senator, but you might vote for him as a president.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, most people would think. I think the average person. I don't know. I'm saying. I'm actually speaking on behalf of the people because I would probably think this. When you say, I'm not going to vote for that guy, it might mean across the board, I'm not going to vote for that guy again. Right?
Mm. Yeah,
but I've never really thought, because you just said that, I've never really thought about that. I've never really thought about that at all.
Mm.
The fact that, oh no, it means that you just don't want him in that position, maybe another position? Yeah. Just,
like I voted for him for Senate, but I didn't vote for him for president in 2016.
Right. Yeah, okay. Interesting.
So...
Okay, cool.
So here's some of the stuff in that ridiculous bill I hope never becomes law, but it will most likely. It establishes universal pre-K for 3- and 4-year-olds and a new child care benefit for working families, which is just more welfare. Which is, it also is, I can get a little bit behind the fact that government wants to encourage families, but this is just universal pre-K for 3 and 4 year olds. New child, but it doesn't say that the families have to be together.
Yeah, that's
and that's the thing is working moms. It just means that the kids get indoctrinated at a younger age, right? Yep. Which means they get involved in that public system. Boom. It's
Yeah, dude, you can't.
It's just another way to get them indoctrinated sooner.
I cannot subscribe behind the fact that, you know, you don't need two parents. You know,
yeah,
mom,
that's
dad,
ridiculous. No,
you need both.
You need both.
It doesn't do anything for it. Like, there's obviously a reason that people that have single parents, you know, it's totally different. It's not good.
Speaking of indoctrination, makes community college tuition free for 2 years, so it gets you started with an early free indoctrination camp. Creates the first ever federal paid family and medical leave benefit. So if you got a job, you can have paid family leave, which is like maternity leave or paternity leave. Okay. And then medical leave benefit. So everybody gets sick days, federal sick days, which a lot of other countries have. I'm not really sure if they should be federal paid or not. I think they should be encouraged by the federal government. Like, the business gets a tax break if they have those kind of
right
benefits.
Well, one thing
employees.
I'll say about the sick day, just before you continue, just real quick, the sick day, that is one, I think, good thing that's come from this whole pandemic issues we had, COVID issues, mm-hmm. because now jobs are like more serious about if I'm sick, I'm sick.
Right. Well, I just don't abuse it. But yeah, paid sick days should be a perk of every job, but I don't think it should be government mandated. Okay, so this is where it gets all super vague and hazy. Provides environmental justice and climate resilience. I don't know what that means. Electrifies the federal vehicle and fleet and buildings. So, like, that's where a lot of the money's going. Electrifying all of the buildings and all of their fleet vehicles. The U.S. Postal Service getting all electric vehicles. The military even starting to go electric, which, I don't know. They'll probably stick with diesel and nuclear for a lot of their stuff. But,
oh, my gosh, dude. That's crazy, dude.
Provides green cards to millions of immigrants, workers, and families, a.k.a. future Democrats. Adds new dental, vision, and hearing benefits to the Medicare program. Again, more people reliant on the federal government. Creates a new federal health program for Americans in the Medicaid gap. Not exactly sure what that is. I'll ask Jason about that. But, yeah.
Yeah, we did have an episode about that with Jason on. If you guys want to hear that, to know what the Medicaid gap is, because I can't remember personally either from that episode. You can go watch that. Cool. It's on YouTube. But so here's what I'll say. I actually don't. What I hate to see is that every single time there's a bill passed like this, And I'm not saying I should be. I'm just saying I never see any of the benefits, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally since Obama. Like, Trump, okay, yes, I did see some of his benefits because obviously it was taxed. Taxes were a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I never see, like, personally, the benefits of it. Obviously, I'm not in a welfare place. I haven't been.
It's not meant for you because you actually, you know, have an issue.
But
that work.
It's weird. How have we gone so long with the middle class never, ever, you know, not getting like any representation? You know what I mean? How has it happened?
I think the middle class has become so complacent in their, you know, upper middle class educated suburbs that they look at the people, maybe the poor people in there, and say, oh, they do deserve that. They should get something. We can afford it. And it's like, no, you can afford it. The country cannot. The country is spending its money in all sorts of stupid ways. The NIH, abolish it. CDC, abolish it. The Department of Education should be abolished. I think
IRS, abolished.
Yeah, exactly. Right. In 2008, Ron Paul's dad was running for president and said he wanted to eliminate 5 federal bureaucracies. Just gone. And I was like, man, duh, I'm voting for this guy.
Yeah, that's, but of course no one goes for that.
Actually, sorry, it was 2012, sorry. And yeah, and of course nobody's going to go for that. But that's really what got me involved as I am in politics, was his presidential run, his his whole attitude towards government. I was like, man.
So my question is, how are we ever, if we're just going to keep going down the other way, how are we ever going to get this guy that's over here to win or to get anywhere close? We're not.
There has to be a collapse.
Boom.
Yeah. There's got to be such a grave economic collapse or some catastrophic event to elect someone.
Fourth turning, dude.
Yeah.
Fourth turning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
That's crazy,
so,
man.
Stuff we got to talk about next time, for sure, is cybersecurity, because I know someone who I'm fairly close with, and they work for, I don't exactly know who they work for or what.
Oh, they won't talk about
company.
It.
I just don't know. I just don't know the name of the company. And I will say it's a guy, just for the sake of being easy here. He does cybersecurity, and he's testifying before the House Finance Committee in just a few days, like not too long, which AOC and Maxine Waters are both on, interestingly enough, as a side note. He's talking about Chinese and Russian cyber attacks and the threats they pose to America. And I asked him recently, you know, why don't we just retaliate with our own? Like, why don't we just retaliate and shut down their internet? And he said, well, their internet is walled off in China and Russia. And I was like, well, that makes perfect sense because, they don't, well, Russia's not, well, they're not exactly communist. They're totalitarian and authoritarian and basically have a dictatorship. But essentially, we can't really attack them the same way they can attack us. Our system, he said, is wide open, just open as, you know, can be.
It's a free. It's like, it's almost like saying
it's perfectly free.
Ours is free, and theirs is not.
Exactly.
That's how it is.
Exactly what
it matches your government almost.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so I was like, well, we can't. We don't have cyber attack capabilities. And he was like, well, that's not what we should retaliate with. And I said, well, okay. And he was asking me, like, he was really asking a few of us, what should I say to these? He's going to meet the Senate Finance Committee or the House Finance Committee. And he's also has meetings with the senators, the U.S. senators from his state that he lives in. And he's already met with each senator on an individual basis. And he's meeting with both of them in a prolonged, in-depth, hours-long meeting in just a few weeks.
Right.
And he was like, you know, I want it to be really like productive meeting and not just talk about how AOC's got a, you know, is a Democrat and horrible and all
right.
this dumb stuff. It's like, I want to get past the superficial and not trying to just score points on my political opponents, but really try and solve an issue. And he was saying that, or I basically said, well, the question that I would ask personally those senators is, at what point does the Chinese and Russian cyber attack aggressions equate to an act of war?
Right.
Retaliable by bombs.
Because we've never dealt with this as far as being an act of war. We haven't.
Right.
Hasn't happened.
Right. And I said, I basically said it. The question I would pose to those senators is, at what point do we drop bombs on Chinese people or Russian people? And I was like, that's an unfortunate question, but that's where the government is leading us to,
because
we cannot retaliate in any other way. And he said, yeah, that's what I think is going to happen or must happen in order to stop these cyber attacks.
And I don't know if people know this, but they happen all the time.
Yes.
Like constantly.
Right. And sometimes they are really starting to affect us. Another person that was involved in this conversation was like, I haven't, you know, been able to really think of a time that really affected me personally, except for this last one where they attacked the I think it was like the Nord Stream pipeline the East Coast and shut it down. It's like, I couldn't go anywhere.
Right.
I was like, well, that affects you pretty greatly. Now imagine if that happened across the United States and we all ran out of gas for 3 days. I mean, that's not a huge amount of time, you know, but people go crazy without gas for 3 days. I mean, think about the beginning of COVID. The toilet paper was gone. All this crazy random stuff was gone. There was no meat on the shelves.
Well, also on the East Coast where that pipeline was, there's still shortages happening, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know that.
It can have ripple effects for sure.
Supermarkets, stuff like that, are not. They don't have regular like food, things that are happening, like meats and stuff. Still. And it's not necessarily from the pipeline, in my opinion, but what else is going on?
Right. Right.
And like 2 years ago, there's local, like a bunch of fire departments in DFW that had problems with their computers and had to get new ones.
Right.
And it was because of, they said, an attack.
And as long as they can distract us by doing that, then we're not focused on the other things. And another thing, sorry, to jump back to that Jim Brewer interview on the Anthony, what's his name show?
Opie Anthony was
their old show.
Oh, okay.
And Opie was a different guy.
Right. Yeah, so, Opie and Anthony. Yeah, I see.
So, anyway, he was saying that... God, no, I forgot it, dude.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
You just made me forget it.
Well, dude, the fire departments were being attacked, and like, it's not just that, and it's all these stuff, and the pipeline, and the supermarket shortages with food. I'm trying to literally mention everything we just talked about.
Yeah,
dude.
You're doing a good job.
And like I said, they hacked, literally attacked the computers. They had to get new computers. It's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
And then Jim was saying what? He was saying probably was happening whenever his friends were saying it was happening. That's what was happening?
No.
And back the shortages and stuff that was happening to them? No?
It'll come back to me. But so I ask this person that is a friend of the show, is all I'll say, who might be on eventually, because I don't know how secret all of this is. Or
what I don't like, dude, is you have a lot of friends of the show, by the way.
I know,
it's
right?
Happened, like,
can't be on.
Multiple times.
Yeah. But anyway,
very
so,
high profile. Hmm.
So I almost had the Jim Brewer thing. I almost had it. So I asked him, I was like, so what do you think about, what do you think about Taiwan and China? And he just like, without skipping a beat, he's like, Taiwan's already gone.
Yeah.
It's already gone. And I was like, me and another person that was at this table said that, well, we're obligated by a treaty to defend Taiwan. Right.
Right.
He said,
yeah, that's what.
So like, we're obligated by treaty to defend, Ukraine. That didn't happen.
Did it not
and
happen?
I was
yep.
like,
there you go.
Oh man. Yeah, that we did. We did just kind of were just like, you're on your own, Ukraine. See ya. Crimea's not that important, is it?
Yeah, Crimea, but like I don't know. Yeah, you're right.
Taiwan's just another
I just
Crimea.
Feel like Taiwan, it's not though. It's not because it actually gives us a lot of crap. Hmm. It actually gives us a lot of stuff. Like Taiwan, literally the reason we have a chip shortage right now is Taiwan. The microchips, the semiconductors, the mm-hmm. silicon, all that stuff is Taiwan specifically, not China altogether. It's literally Taiwan.
Yeah.
And so whenever you talk about, you know, trade happening and not happening and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
it all has to do with Taiwan. And that's my problem with it. It might already be gone, but I'm like, wait a second, though. What are we going to do? Because we already have this. This has already happened. We already have shortages of the microchip shortage or whatever.
And
you know?
So this person also let me know. We asked, we all, this is a very big conversation. We asked if China does full on invade Taiwan, like, can't we just nuke China? And the person who's going to meet the Congress in a few weeks was like, we have nukes in Taiwan already. They don't have to go ICBM. They can go right next door.
Right.
That fast, that easy. Yeah. And then I was like, I just said, retaliatory. It's mad. It's mutually assured destruction. It's there's going to be a retaliatory strike.
Yes,
and then it's nuclear holocaust across
that,
the world.
That's why we can't. No one can nuke. I think that's honestly a reason if you nuke,
you leave no one else standing.
That right, or you have that whole no witnesses thing. But my thing too is I almost think it was a strategy of America to have bases across the world with nuclear weapons.
Well, of course it was.
And now we can be like,
it's an obvious strategy.
Well, of course, yeah, right. But now
that's why we have bases all across the world.
But now, literally, it was almost like you can't forget we created the nuke, so we'll put them everywhere, and then no one will want to use them. That's kind of what that's the logic I'm thinking.
Well, that was the logic.
Oh my gosh, this is a mistake. We created this crazy bomb. Okay, hold on a second. You know, how do we get rid of it?
Yeah, and that was the logic behind ending the Cold War was like, look, let's both de-arm a little bit, cool things down, head towards the right path.
Right.
And then we'll just, you know, basically agree that it would be mutually assured destruction. If you strike, by the time we figure out a missile's in the air, we've got one over in the air towards you. Right. And that's how fast it would be.
Well, meanwhile, while this China stuff's going on, we still have a ceasefire with North Korea, and that's it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of tension, dude, and I don't know. And America also is crazy divided. So it's like, what is going to happen? This collapse.
I remember. Okay, hold on. I remember the Jim Brewer thing. So he was saying that basically, whereas during the Cold War we had this like immediate plan. We gotta stop. You know, the spread of communists. We gotta open up trade, and then everything will be okay. You know, they'll realize how good capitalism is, and we'll be hunky dory. Whereas the Chinese and the Soviets / Russians had an attitude of like, how can we infiltrate you over the next 40 years? And it was through our education system. And they've openly, ex-KGB agents have openly said, yes, that's where we went. We went into your schools, we went into your universities, and we started this Marxism, essentially, this American Marxism. And now it's infiltrating our military, and it's infiltrating our politics, and just everything about our politic, our people and our culture. It's becoming a much more mainstream viewpoint, and it was their plan all along.
What?
Yes,
I need to do some research on that. It's crazy, dude. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes, it's a KGB plan.
It makes sense to me because like Russians perfectly would play the long game. Like I feel like they would.
Russians and Chinese.
That's how Russians are.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I don't know necessarily. Yeah, I guess Chinese like that too. But like, mm-hmm. I'm looking at a Russian right now, knowing that he'd be like, oh, it's okay. I will win another way. You know,
well, like, you win the battle, we'll win the war.
Long way, yeah. The long game. You know, exactly. And you're like, but I don't know, man. That's crazy.
So the last couple things I'll say. So about China, he said that Taiwan's already gone, which I was like a little depressed about for the reasons you mentioned. It's like,
what the heck?
And
are
the
we
thing
doing,
is,
then?
A lot of those. Have you been hearing that a lot of those chips are starting to like we're trying to make them here, we're trying to make them like in Brazil or some random places, like
we're trying new places.
Taiwan is Chinese now. All of that technology, all those chips, all those goods that Taiwan was making is now going to mainland and not to the rest of the world. With Hong Kong and all their banking and financing and all the taxes that must go along with
that. So check this out, dude. Going along with that right there. Hold on, dude. This is just juicy. This is juicy. Apple, I just want to talk about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think it was 2020 or maybe it was 2019, they unveiled their newest computers. And guess what they did? They got rid of Intel's processors and they started producing their own.
Wow.
And that's what it's called now. The M1 is what they call it. They started producing their own silicon and everything else, their own chip. Their whole chip now is all in one. It's great. It's awesome. But whatever. Not talking about a lot of that. But the point I'm making right now is, how the heck? You know, I thought maybe they were going that route. Everyone thought they were going that route anyway a little bit. Mm-hmm. But kind of timing, bro?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a little suspect.
It's a little sus, dude. And then they're like, hey, we're still good. We're still Gucci, you know, cranking out these freaking MacBooks, bro. Come buy one. We have our own freaking chips, and they run great. It's awesome. Honestly, it's great. And I kudos to Apple. You know, awesome. And they also, I thought the whole reason they did it was for security reasons. Because it'd be theirs and they can be like, okay, now we're good. Security would be perfect. Because no other freaking companies are in our shit. You know? But now I'm thinking like, what? Was Taiwan already out? Like, did we know about this? Did people know about this? You know?
I'm sure China probably made it clear to
and
our
then the next thing
elite
comes up,
ruling class. Yeah.
Trump was like, yo, get out of China. What are we doing? And try to get manufacturing back here to probably save us from the problems that we're having right now.
Yep.
Like fire trucks can't get built right now. That's literally my job because of quote-unquote chips
shortage.
How do you
stop a 40-year plan like that? The multi-generational plan. Like the kids are carrying out their parents' plans like to a T, and it's all working. And they did it. So last thing this person said on his opinion about Putin in Russia. He was like, Putin above. I have the opinion. I probably still have it, but I'm intrigued by what he said. My opinion of Putin is that he wants to be known as a great ruler of Russia. That's like he wants his legacy. He wants his vast wealth and everything like that for his family, kind of a thing, for his generation, so the Putin name will forever be a dynasty. But I think he really wants the legacy, like any super-duper powerful person. The money is only a finite thing in this world. But the legacy lives on, you know, forever, right? And that was kind of my opinion of Putin, was that that's what he really wanted, was for Russia to expand its territory, for all Russia to come back as one. And he essentially agreed with me that Russia does want to kind of regain its territory, whereas China is like, we have our territory. It's Taiwan, it's Hong Kong, it's this, it's some of these outlying islands. But he said that Putin doesn't care at all. Does not care. Doesn't care about his oligarchs. He doesn't care about the Chinese. He doesn't care about, obviously he doesn't care about the Russian people. He only cares about money and his billions of dollars. And he's got several billion. He may be the richest person on the planet.
Yeah. We wouldn't know. We would never know. But what? Really? You think so? He thinks so?
He thinks so.
I don't think you get to a point where that doesn't matter. And I think that for his mindset, the type of person that he seems to be, the way he rules his country, mm-hmm. would be similar to that of another dictator, other dictators. And I actually think they're both, like, not exact. Because, like, another dictator, let's just bring up, you know, these people that took over their country and ruined it, you know, like Hitler or Stalin or these other people. They don't get up there and think, I want the legacy. They get up there and they want to keep going forever, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, there's a legacy, but they don't think they're going to leave it behind. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't think Putin's going to leave behind a legacy. I think he's literally like, I'm it, and I'm going to freaking make it happen. You know what I mean?
I think Hitler wanted the legacy.
You think so?
Hitler was ideological for sure.
I just thought it's like me and only me. Like, if he leaves something behind, that means he's thinking that someone else can do what he did. And I think they're way too self-centered people. Like, they can't think like that at all. Like, they're way on the far extreme on that scale. So there's no way for them to think, oh, delegation, this guy could do it. No. No one else can do what they can in their eyes. And so that's why I think Putin's that guy. And so at the end of the day, yes, he will unintentionally leave that legacy, because humans have to die at some point. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't think that way. He thinks he's the only one. That's how I see it. Maybe not, though. Honestly, he's a freaking genius, though. The whole thing, it seems like, the whole way he's played everything is like, wow, you know?
He's playing 4D chess like a pro and winning, for sure.
But if we go along what you just said about Russia and their whole plan, then Putin is not thinking about any of that crap, and maybe it is just money, and he also is just sticking to the plan. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, he's like, all right, next guy, do the same thing. You know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know who Putin's parents were. I don't know any of that.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah. I don't even know if he has kids or anything.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like just for me, the Russian mindset is about, it's just extremely strong national pride, nationalism. And,
oh, are you kidding? Have you seen their ad for military, bro?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, this is where this is what an ad for a military needs to be.
Yeah. But
patriotic ass.
So yeah, we need to have him on, because that'd be a pretty epic show.
It would be cool. Yeah, it'd be freaking sick
once we get the Skype working and figure it out.
Yeah,
because he lives like east,
right?
Way east.
Heck yeah, dude. yeah. All I'm waiting on that is like get OBS going on the computer and everything. Anyway, whatever, we can do that for sure. I'm down for that. Bo show, bro, dude. That's been a toasty episode.
Super toasty.
Toasty air.
So,
oh, dude, Facebook Warrior. Yeah. Dude, I almost forgot.
And now it's time for our Facebook Warrior.
This is what everyone's been clamoring for. You could win a toasty tea if you comment on my Facebook question every week, and that's what we call the Facebook Warrior. Get ready. Today is a juicy one.
As I said, guys, this week's question was, do you think the eviction moratorium is necessary currently?
No.
Landlords, please chime in. And if you heard the previous minutes of the episode – what previous minutes? If you heard earlier on in the episode, we talked about this a little bit and got our views in order there on that. And I'm trying to get Matt – there we go. Here we go.
That's perfect. I like the first response already.
Okay. Hold on. Let me – it won't be the first.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it'll be –
the hell?
Yeah, it's the way they do it is interesting. Lots of comments on this one. It's great. I love it. You guys crack us up, and I love that. So if you guys want to see what's what these comments are, you can look on the screen on YouTube. We have them there. If you're listening, though, thank you for listening, and share the show. That is how we grow. J.O. Miller, possibly could get people back to work. I don't think he knew the question. I don't know. He always chimes in, and it seems maybe he's thinking something else from it. I can't understand what he's thinking.
Maybe he's thinking, do you think the eviction moratorium is necessary? Is it possibly or unnecessary?
Unnecessary, right? Yeah. Casey Russo, no, not at all. Is enabling bad opportunistic behavior.
Yep.
Okay. Morgan Wisenhunt, I worked in the housing industry for years. Honestly, I truly believe it is getting abused. Homeowners are still expected to pay on time. Why shouldn't renters? Boom. That is a very good argument.
Absolutely.
Cheryl Harris, agreed, 100%. Only way anyone should at this point be able to use it is if they could prove a paper trail that actually showed job seeking had been pursued. I added words there to make the comment seem more readable. Morgan Wisenhunt, I agree. Not saying, okay, yeah, okay, we got it. Maddie Harris, we had a situation where, this is a long comment, we had a situation where we had difficult renters. We were young and broke and had just moved out of our first home to follow work, and so we rented it out. If it gets off screen, Matt, please let me know. We were not in a position to comfortably afford two house payments. Footing the bill for our family and then the housing bill for another one created an unnecessary financial hardship for us, completely unfair to the landlord in most of these situations. So she's giving us a situation where it actually happened just with life, and it sucked. So the fact that it's happening with a government-mandated moratorium, wow. Guys, I don't think you understand. Most of these landlords are not millionaires. Not even, honestly, they're middle class.
Like Bree and Chase, my brother-in-law and my sister, they own a couple houses, I think three other houses that they don't live in, that they just collect rent from families that, you know, are luckily paying their rent.
Well, the bulk of people that own the houses for rent are middle class. Now, here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. You say luckily paying their rent. In Texas, I want to see the stats in Texas specifically because I don't know if we're having that big of an issue. I'm not sure, though, because the moratorium actually, I think there's some specifics behind it that show that it has to be bad income or low income cities and neighborhoods and all that stuff.
Right.
So it just kind of depends on where it's at. And I don't know, man. Maybe in the deep city you might see that. I'm not sure. Texas, though, of course, we're doing great. Economy's always awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing, Maddie. That's what I said. That's my comment. Jesus, I think it's supposed to be Jesus Christ, but that's interesting. It's a play on Jesus Christ. Wow, interesting. Anyway, that's the guy's name. People are abusing the system. The pandemic should have taught everyone to not want to live hand to mouth ever again. If you haven't figured this out by now, then you're a leech.
Correctamundo.
Correctamundo. Brandon Kyle Fudge. Let them property owners sell them houses if they can't handle people not paying rent. Lower this market, LMAO.
Awesome comment. That's great.
Awesome comment. Michael Roney, let me guess. You will never own a house.
What?
I don't know. Brandon, trying to explain his comment. Bo, bo, bo. I love the back and forth in Facebook comments, bro. Uh-huh. This is awesome. These guys, they just get off to this stuff. They want to defend themselves on a comment. It was a joke towards the current market. I don't really think it's the property owner's fault that renters can't pay their landlords. I realize selling a house wouldn't do anything because the next owner would just be stuck with the tenant. I wouldn't say I will never own a house, but if some wild, unfortunate life event happens, it's a possibility that I won't.
It was a very mature way to combat that asshole there, Brandon.
It was. Michael Roney, thanks for explaining. Okay, all right, Michael Roney. So this go-round, he's not winning a Toasty Tea, I'll tell you that. Kevin.
Kevin does not count as a fucking comment.
Kevin Immer, I agree that it is unfortunate for landlords at this time. But I think if you look, this is interesting comment. I like this comment. I think if you look at what historically happens during times of evictions and rising housing costs, the legislature may be choosing the lesser of two evils. If you suddenly evict a mass of people who cannot now afford to rent or buy, there is a realistic risk of rising welfare costs, crime waves, vandalism, homelessness, depression, job loss, negative effects on affected youth, etc. I am a conservative, but just looking at the bigger picture. Very well thought out comment.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll combat with. Mm-hmm. COVID has done those same things.
Here's what I'll combat that with.
Go ahead.
That it wasn't COVID. It was the federal government that did all that.
That's what I should have said in the first place. Down. By saying, you know, it's interesting. By saying COVID, I almost think that it should be implied that I'm saying federal government, but it shouldn't be.
And the thing
it
is, if the federal government is providing people with these checks and these unemployment benefits, whatever, right. Pay your rent with that. That's what it's for.
Right.
It's not like you can't afford your rent. Like if you lose your job because of COVID, the government paid for that because right. The government shut your job down. If the government is giving you the extra money for unemployment and you're spending it on everything but what you're supposed to be spending it on, that's your own damn fault.
Yeah.
It's your own fault.
Right. And when the federal government decided to shut everything down, that like caused all the things he's listing out.
Right.
The riots. That was vandalism. That was crime waves. Depression. You're stuck in your home. Job loss, obviously. Like all those things happened because of the federal government. So I don't know if I like it or can say, oh, you saved yourself by helping out the renters. Like I'm not sure I follow that same logic. Like
and,
I said,
and if anything,
well thought out comment.
They should have just played. They should have just paid the landlords and let the renters live there free. But
there you go. Why don't you just subsidize the landlords? And if that's what you're really trying to do, even though I hate the whole idea, all of these ideas are terrible in my opinion. But that's whatever.
Yeah, you could have just let the whole virus go through the nation, do what it's going to do, and advise people the best way you can, but whatever.
Yep. Donna DeLauder, the only reason I know how to say that name is because I know her. Most landlords are just regular people who have a second home and rent it out. It's not always the big corporation that have apartment buildings all over the country. The regular Joe cannot afford to foot the bill for two mortgages long term. Plus, there is no assistance for people who lose their job and can't pay the mortgage on their own home? The bank still expects to be paid each month. How about helping them out too? And that is literally what we just said. That's perfect. Brian Casco, always shooting the funny ones. Hey, y'all, got any more of those stimmies or unemployment checks with the guy on crack?
Dave Chappelle's crackhead character.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle crackhead character, yeah. Jason Smith, absolutely not. What other businesses are being forced to give away their goods/services? If the government feels the need to get involved, then they should directly pay the rent that is legally due to landlords, which, by the way, are 50% small mom-and-pop owners. The mortgage company still demands their payments be made on time, but not rent? BS. If you can't pay, then get the F out. As a landlord, you better believe I will be vetting all references on future lease applications, and guess what? Your rent history will determine whether or not you get to live there.
Yeah, so, yeah, like he is saying, if you're taking that government check and you're not paying rent, and that's going to be on your renter's history, which it will be, you may have a hard time finding a place to live in the future. Because, like Chase, this is my brother-in-law, by the way. Like Jason said, if you're going to be
trying to get one from him?
Yeah, trying to get one from him, you're not going to have a place to live.
Right, and that's the thing is, like, if we look at most landlords, well, they are the single people that own it. You know, they're not the mm-hmm. big corporations. Now, apartments are different. Apartments are not the same thing. Apartments are owned by pretty much corporations at the most part this time. But this is like almost exclusively houses then, right? Renting mm-hmm. houses, mm-hmm. right? Dave Sine, he won a t-shirt. I hope you like your toasty tea, bro. Send it all the way to New York for you. He says, obviously not. Never was necessary. Michael Roney comes in again with a comment. Here we go. Wow, actually, this is a good comment. It's a ploy to appease to the poor and dumb who have nothing vested in a rent or home ownership. Plenty of work to be had. No reason you can't pay rent unless you suck at life and you're lazy. Don't worry. The working class will still care for those deadbeats too. That's like a weird 180. So I'm not sure, Michael Roney, if he's listening right now, if you were trying to combat Brandon because of his poorly worded grammatically incorrect whatever comment or what. I'm not sure what's going on there. Anyway, the last comment's a decent comment, though. So I'll count that towards a toasty tea if you win. I don't know. We'll see.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Sweet. And that has been Facebook Warrior. That is our question of the week, guys. If you want to win a toasty tea, all you have to do is comment on my question of the week, and I will always hashtag that question with a Q&A, so you know that's the one that I'll put in the episode. With that said, you don't have to answer the question necessarily, although I would like you to answer it. If you want to answer it in a short version and then put your own thing there, you can ask us questions. You can say whatever you want. You can say, I hate the Toasty Podcast. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
Won't get a t-shirt.
Of course you won't get a t-shirt. Because we are biased when it comes to those t-shirts, guys. Not going to say only conservatives win. That's not what I mean to say.
Yeah, very true.
I mean a good comment that's juicy, that's toasty. The whole point of this is to stay freaking toasty. But with that said, guys, we are done.
Heck yeah. Stay toasty, everybody.
Stay toasty. Toasty.